0702 0967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening, welcome to the Legends Show. Monday evening, 6:30. We're without John Aldridge tonight, but Graham Sharp and Roy Evans both in the studio with us. Next hour's all what you want to talk about, really. Obviously, internationals at the moment, but if you want to get involved, stuck into any debate, whether it be internationals, blues, reds, the number is 0151 4720967. 0151 4720967. I'm Steve Hollis. So welcome along, chaps.
Cheers, Steve.
Great to see you both here. Sharpie's on a high. Scotland hit six.
No, not really. Yeah, well, I'd expect them to win that game, Steve, but too little, too late. You know, they're out, you know, and then it was a tough group. But the Republic as well, disappointing for them. They've just got into the playoffs. You know, when you look at the start of the campaign and the group Scotland were in, it was always going to be difficult. Thought the best they could go for was third, and it would probably be them and the Republic of Ireland going for that position. Poland and Germany, for me, were always going to be the top teams in that. So came up short, disappointing. Gordon Strachan's got a decision to make whether he stays on. Personally speaking, I'd like to see him stay on. I think there has been signs of improvement over the years or the couple of years he's been there, but whether he does or not remains to be seen.
I think if you keep changing every 5 minutes, you don't get any continuity.
No.
To be fair to Gordon Strachan, he seems to have built a team spirit into them now, and obviously hasn't quite got them over the line. But yeah, I think I'd like to see him stay as well. I must be honest.
That's the thing, Roy. Again, we talk about the team spirit thing. You're spot on. You know, the number of times now a squad is assembled, and it's very rarely do you get MD pulling out. You know, in years gone past, you know, things weren't going well, they'd pull out and say, no, I'm not ready, I'm injured or whatever. But now everybody wants to meet up. Yeah. I think you look at the two successful, or the two of the successful, Wales and Northern Ireland, all credit to them. They had that team spirit that Roy's talked about. Everybody wanted to meet up, everybody wanted to play in the next game. And if you've got that, you've got half a chance.
I just want to know where all these, like, Northern Ireland qualify. Obviously, Scotland just missed out. Wales, great for them to see them qualify. Delighted for them, obviously. Having done a bit down with the Welsh boys. But there's still got to be some of these young players from the local countries, and we're not seeing them come through the system anymore. And that is a worry for me.
How much did you love your time at Wales?
I enjoy my time at Wales. I mean, I'm not Welsh. I mean, the name Evans sounds like I am, but I mean,
No connections at all?
No, just no connections at all. I'm English. I probably a touch more Irish than Welsh. But I really enjoyed it. It was different. I worked with Tosh, and Tosh is a big scholar in the football. And to be fair, I mean, obviously, Wales have qualified now, and Chrissy Cormann's done a great job. These lads sort of started with us, and Tosh changed a lot of things around early on and brought in these kids, and it's been great to watch them develop. It would have been nice if they developed a bit earlier in our time, but it's been nice to see them develop, and now they've got some top class players, and I'd say Chrissy's done a great job, and it's, you know, I think it's 50-odd years since they qualified, so it's nice to see that.
Well, you look at, you talk at Rushy and Neville Southall, Kevin Ratcliffe, all the players in the past, you know, players that have played for both clubs in Merseyside, who haven't had the opportunity to play at a big tournament. You know, this is an ideal opportunity for them. But as Roy said there, going back to himself and John Toshack, then you look at Gary Speed, the job he's done, and Chris Coleman's taken it on again. So it has been a slow process, but they've got there in the end.
Yeah,
and they've got there in the end, and all credit to them. You know, they'll enjoy it, you know, as will the Northern Irish as well. You know, that's a fantastic achievement for Michael O'Neill. You know, he came out of Club Football Scotland, you know, his reputation tarnished at Hibs, but he's come back in there now, and what an achievement that is, bringing...
And not many people would even know him, would they, to be honest? I mean, but he's done a great job, absolutely fantastic job.
Even half his team as well. There's no superstars in there, is there? It's collectively built on team spirit, isn't it, Northern Ireland?
It is.
Brilliant to see Northern Ireland and Wales there.
Listen,
that was England. And
listen, I think, but in all honesty, you need a little bit of luck. Of course you need a little bit of luck. You need the way that the games are and everything else, and the way the teams are in the group. But take nothing away from both Wales and Northern Ireland. That's been a fantastic achievement, a real, real fantastic achievement. I was in here the other day, and I was speaking to Gary Gillespie, Roy, and I went through the Scotland team, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, who would you say Scotland's best player is now? And I don't even know who that could be.
We'd have a struggle with that.
Yeah, and you would say, and at our time you'd say, oh, but it's Dalglish or it's Souness or it's Hansen or whatever kind of thing. They'd all these players to pick from. Now you look at the Scotland team and it's made up of Alan Hutton, who struggled to get a game, the boy Whittaker, left back at Norwich. And there's no big characters anymore. They haven't got anybody who you would say plays for one of the top teams. You know, in our day, they were playing for Liverpool or Manchester United, Everton, whatever kind of thing. Yeah. But now they're not playing for the top, top clubs.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been a football club without the Jack boys. Mm. I mean, to be fair, they were fantastic for us over many years. And the Welsh and the Irish. I mean, we've had our fair share of all. And you just wonder where they are these days. Is it down to computers and God knows what else, that kids don't play football. Mm. But surely they must be there somewhere.
OK, let's welcome our first guest to the show. Just before we do, I just want to give a massive shout-out to someone who might not think he's had the amount of recognition he deserves, but perhaps today. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But Liam Beefy Smith, the Liverpool boxer. Mm. What a top family all those Smith boys are. Yeah. And he brings a world title home to this city. Brilliant. And I hope you're listening, Liam. Obviously, good friend, the family are anyway. Mm. What an achievement. We love our boxing. And I know the next guest loves his boxing because I think he's still a mate, a big mate, with Tony Bellew. Let's welcome Sylvain Distan to the show. Hi, Sylvain.
Hi.
Hi, Sylvain.
You've been speaking much with Tony recently?
A few times, a couple of times. I intend to come and watch his next fight, so yeah.
Do you ever fancy it yourself? being a boy?
just the pads, that's it. I'm good at hitting, but not good at leading.
Sylvain, you had a fantastic time at Everton. You've gone down to Bournemouth now. Big changes?
Yeah, it's a big change. It's a club who's in the Premier League for the first time in their history. So there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot of young players, but it's a tough challenge, but it's a very interesting one.
Is it a very different scenario from Everton Football Club for you, Sylvain? I know you were emotionally very attached, weren't you, to Merseyside and Everton?
Yeah, of course. I spent 6 years at the club, and I have some friends, and not only in the squad, just as well some people working behind the desk, some people in the medical and in the canteen. So it was emotional, but I've got plenty of nice memories, and it's a nice time. I enjoyed my time over there. I've got no regrets and no problem at all.
Thought it'd be great to get you on to talk about Phil Jagielka, because obviously you know him well, Sharpie knows him well, Evo does as well, in the sense that what he's achieved, and tonight it's a real landmark for both himself and for Everton. He becomes, believe it or not, the first Everton player to have captained England from the start of a match. I mean, what can you say about him, first of all, as a defender, Sylvain?
Well, I've played 4 or 5 seasons with him, so we had a really good understanding. Without talking a lot, we had a good partnership. He's to command his line, and obviously he takes a lot of pride in defending and keeping clean sheet, and he's got a big heart, so he's got plenty of qualities.
Just looking at the last couple of seasons, Sylvain, every game you would say Jags was an 8 out of 10. You know, he just seems to lead by example. And this season as well, he's had a back four. Him and Tim are the most experienced at the back four or the back five, if you like. And he said these young players, you know, Galloway's come in, the young Tyus Brown. And so it's been a big ask for him again this season, but he's still putting in these performances. Incredible.
Well, I think the best way for him to show and lead by example is to be to keep his performance really high, and that's what he's doing. You don't really have to talk to those youngsters. You know, nowadays youngsters are full of confidence, and then all they need is someone next to them to show them the way, and that's what Jaggy is doing.
I think Roy Evans, Justin. I think with the likes of Jags, at the end of the day, I think it's great that you've got an eight out of 10 player every week. As defenders, that's what you need. I mean, okay, forward players' performances can be up and down and change, but to have a real chance of progressing and your team getting better, I think you've got to have guys at the back who are 8 out of 10 every week.
No, I agree with you. It's consistency is what matters at the back. You know, it's as a striker, you've got ups and downs, and you've got some time where everything works fine, and no matter where you shoot, it's a goal, and then you've got a period of doubts when nothing is going your way. But at the back, you have to be consistent no matter what, and it's a tough job. We don't get many rewards neither.
So, no, we don't get the praise. We just get the stick if you play in the back end. All them centre forwards take all the praise.
Yeah, but we used to it, and it's good. It's good.
I mean, what would he think about being the captain tonight, do you think? Obviously, you know him well. A great honour, I would have thought, Sylvain.
Yeah, well, I think he's gonna enjoy this moment. It's a special moment. It's being a captain is something, but being a captain for your country, I mean, it's the ultimate dream. So I'm sure he's gonna enjoy that moment.
Sylvain, I think you play Liverpool soon. You play Liverpool in the next couple of weeks, is it?
Yeah, in 2 weeks' time. Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, of course, as always, you know, it's always good to be back at North. So yeah.
Well, the last game, to be fair, the game in the league, I thought Bournemouth were excellent, and they were very, very unfortunate to come away with nothing in that game. I mean, Liverpool got the win, but it was, Bournemouth really impressed me the way they played. And I've enjoyed watching them because they're fresh. They don't just, it's not just all about possession, it's about creating chances, balls over the top. It's got a nice mix the way they play.
But a big blow for you, Sylvain, as well. The injury to Callum Wilson, was it? It was a bad injury, so he'll be missing. He'll be a big miss.
Yeah. We lost three players on long term injuries, and for a club like us, it's a big blow. But it's part of the football, so we're not going to use that as an excuse, and then we're going to carry on.
Got their own goal of the season competition going, haven't they, Bournemouth? Did you see Richie?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
There's some boys there who really like having a pot shot at goal.
So they are about, aren't they, these lads?
Yeah, I agree with you, Roy. Yeah, I think they're brilliant to watch. Yeah.
But I thought we were going to talk about Sylvain's goals.
Let's forget about that.
How many?
No, listen, Sylvain and Jags were brilliant, you know, together. Really, really strong partnership. Yeah. Really, really quick, you know, read the game well. You know, I think it was I'm not just saying that because it's on the show, but I think it was a big loss for us. You know, I think I'd have liked to have seen him still here. Obviously, you know, the manager's got to pick a team, but, you know, Evertonians, you know, thought really, really highly of Sylvain and thank him for all his efforts.
Experience is everything as well, at the back.
All day long.
I tell you what, Sylvain, you were really confident, weren't you, that Everton would get something out of the derby, because I sent you a little text and said, would you come on the show? And you said, yeah, because I feel this is our time. I feel this is the one. And do you know what? I think there was a mood of optimism that Everton might just win that one. But nevertheless, even though they haven't, I think things are set up pretty well for a decent season.
Yeah, they started really well. They've been strong at the back. I think for me the most pleasant point is the consistency of Rom up front. I think he's been starting the season really, really strong, and he's using his body really well. And it's not just scoring goals, he's passing as well. He's been really good. His ball retention, his first touch, I think he improved a lot this season. So it's really pleasant to see that.
And also Ross Bartley, you obviously saw him up close, Sylvain. Big future ahead for Ross.
Yeah, he's still learning. You know, sometimes it's difficult to have so much talent when you're that young, because people expect a lot. But you have to remember how young he is, and he's still learning. Every game is a new game, and it's a experience that he gets under his belt. So I think he started as well really well, and he's doing well for England as well. So that is going to be beneficial for him.
Sylvain, brilliant to have you on. Thank you very much for sharing a bit of time with
us. Sylvain.
Great to hear you. Sylvain Distan there, of course, playing with Bournemouth now.
Great guy. And he was excellent for Everton, you know, and for whatever happened, and he eventually left. But as I said there to him, you know, a lot of Evertonians really liked him, you know, and were surprised when he left. Listen, you've got to move on. John Stones was coming into the fray.
But sometimes, Graham, to be fair, like, it's nice to have the experience alongside the Stones as well. They have to learn off people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And to be fair to this stand, he was a good servant for Everton over that time.
He was brilliant.
In that sort of position as well, sort of what longevity have you got? Because he's not young anymore, is he? But he's still playing in the Premier League, and he's fit.
He's a fit lad, and he was one of those who really looked after himself. You know, he was in gym, extra gym sessions, everything else, as they all do now, don't get me wrong. But you talk about the longevity now of a player, you know, if they look after themselves, it's incredible. But Sylvain is one of the fittest players, and you even think he was getting to 36, 37 maybe? He's still got that pace. You know, he's not got lightning pace that he had before, but because he's got the intelligence in his head, you know, he's so quick. You know, so really, really good servant for Everton.
But I think that players can play a little bit longer these days. I mean, obviously, different type of game. It's a far less physical game than it used to be. So I think they are going to play that little bit longer. And as long as you've got that intelligence in the defender side. You read the game well. I was quite surprised when he said that they weren't good speakers. They weren't like good.
No, Jags is a quiet captain. Yeah. Jags is not a shouter and aggressive. I think he just leads by example. You know, I think he'll during the game he'll coax the kids.
You need communication, don't you?
He'll coax them, but he's not one of those who will grab you by the scruff of your neck and drag you through games. He just leads by example. That's what. When things weren't going well last year, I would say we didn't have enough captains. We didn't have enough leaders in the team, but Jags has stepped up to four. Even last year when we were struggling, and one game at QPR, Roy, especially, I remember we were struggling. We should have got beat in the game. We won the game 2-1. How we won it, I'm not sure, but that was the catalyst for us to go on a little run where we won five games in the trot or whatever. And it was because it looked as if Jags just went, right, I'm taking this by the scruff of the neck. We're going to do it my way. We're just going to defend. We're just going to boot it clear and get up the pitch. And they just seem to take over. And since then, his performance has been...
Strange enough, when you talk about captains, and again, it's a great position, obviously, to be captain of your club and whatever. Mm. But we used to say to all of it, you're all captains.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, the one guy has to toss the coin. Mm. Some guys are better than others. But you gave everybody that chance to be a captain on the pitch. Mm. And I think that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Roy Evans, Graham Sharp in the studio. Many thanks to Sylvain Distan. Let's take our first call of the night. You want to get involved tonight, 0151 4720 967. It's the Radio City Legends, first caller. It's a Klopp-free zone, by the way, at least the first 20 minutes.
I bet it's not.
It's got to be Klopp-free, because I was just receiving too much hassle over the fact that it might become a...
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a blue one first. It's Ian, who's in Kirby. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Hi, Ian.
Hi. Klopp-free zone. So I'd just like to put my two penny worth in on that, if you don't mind, first of all.
So it's not Klopp-free zone.
I mean, all these rednecks seem to be made up that Brenda got the sack, fair enough. They're even more made up that Clifferty's come in. But, you know, the thing is, he won't be there that long. Even the thickest redneck surely knows that the Klopps go back at the end of October.
It's a good one. Come on, Sharpie, it's a good one.
Don't give up your day job.
Cool, what do you want to talk about, Ian?
Well, it's just Jags, captain in England. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as I'm aware, he's the first Everton player to actually captain an England side.
From the start, that is.
Well, yes. You know, but still, I'm not sure it really counts. You know, someone goes off after 70 minutes and you have 20 minutes. But I just think it's a great honour for the lad personally and the club in general. But, and, you know, it's about time, because not just... Everton in general seems to have been treated over the decades harshly by the international federations. I mean, Sharpie's Scottish, obviously, and at one point, he may or may not know this, he was Everton's most capped Scottish player.
But what do you think, lads, about the fact that obviously it's taken this long for Everton to have an England captain? Does that surprise you, Roy? In fact, when I told you before, you did look a little bit shocked.
Yeah, you are surprised in a sense, but... Obviously, sometimes tell you maybe the quality over the years that they've had. But you get a captain that plays for England for a long time. You're not going to change if you're successful with it. You're not going to change the captains. I mean, that's the way it is. And I suppose if Rooney had been fit, then maybe he stays as captain, whatever. So for me, I think it's great for Jags, and I'm really pleased. I'm pleased for the Evertonians who are happy for him. But for me, it's... Captain's a captain.
Yeah, I thought Bolly might have been a captain at one stage, but then you look at Bobby Moore
was there forever.
So they've gone. Now, go on, Ian, anything else to say?
No.
Do you think of the season so far? Are you happy with it?
Well, it's a decent enough start when you consider the fixtures we've been handed. Everyone was going on again about the rednecks and their tough away fixtures, but apart from Watford and, say, West Brom, our home and away fixtures have given Everton a tough start. And I think we've done relatively well. The football hasn't always been brilliant, but I think it's been more than adequate. And at some games, it's obviously been very good. It's more like his first season as opposed to last season. So I'm happy that we can carry on going forwards and give everyone a run for the money.
OK, very quickly, are we going to win against United at the weekend?
Of course we are.
Good, that's all I want to know.
Thank you very much, Ian. In Kirby, seems pretty confident.
He's having a little go at Liverpool. Yeah.
this rednecks thing. I know what it's about.
Well, it's not rednecks and blue nose. It'll be all the ones. You know what it's like. You have to have a broad back in this game. We were talking a bit about before, about if you're a manager in the game, whatever, you have to take a bit of criticism. You have to take a bit of stick. Surely that's part of the fun of the game. Mm. in many ways.
Well, we'll talk about that in the next part, where we'll talk about Klopp, and we'll ask Roy about...
We've spoken about Klopp last week.
What we've not heard is we've got a man
So it's another day then, so we talk about him again. I came into the studio today, and I thought there would be bunting up that he'd won the league, and the guy's only been in the job 2 days.
You're sounding a bit bitter.
Not at all.
Right, the Radio City Legends will be back very shortly. Roy Evans, Graham Sharp, and you can get involved. 0151 472 0967.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
McGeady races over to the far left side to pick it up. Floats across back in. Oh, header away by Liverpool. Might drop for Jackie Elka.
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes!
Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside derby! Phil Jackie Elka on the half volley.
What a
with
goal!
With one of the best derby finishes you're ever likely to see. What a thunderous finish to this game.
Pained me at the time. Sharpie's elbows pained me at the time. But what a goal it was. And it's a momentous night for him tonight as well. Just to read you out the England team before we talk a little bit of Klopp. It's Butland in goal. Walker, Jones, Jagielka, Gibbs, Barkley, Shelby, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Townsend, Kane, Vardy. Does it matter to either of you tonight that team that's playing against Lithuania?
No, I think Roy Hodgson is entitled to play some of the younger lads and see where they fit. I mean, if you wanted the group to qualify, England, for me, got the perfect group. I mean, you'd have been really disappointed had they not qualified, but you still have to beat what's in front of you, and that's what they've done. You know, they've gone right the way through without losing the game. But yeah, I think you're entitled to have a look at some of the young lads and see how they do.
Just a little bit worried, in fact, it's on an artificial pitch. And that would be the worry for me. You know, I'm just trying to think who it was. Was it Cruel, the goalkeeper at Newcastle? Did he come off? He done his knee.
I think it was an artificial
pitch as well. So that'd be the worry for me. I see Jagielka playing, I see Ross Barkley playing. And listen, those pitches never, don't get me wrong, not what there used to be, but that would be a worry for me. I'm surprised that Ross Barkley's playing, having played, you know, the other night. You know, I thought he might have changed it and tried somebody else in there. But
is it a complete plastic pitch?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not like just with a bit of Deso in.
No, I think it's a complete plastic pitch in Vilnius. So that's my only worry, the fact that you want to see all your players come back fit, you know, especially big games at the weekend. But I don't think this will be easy for England, don't get me wrong.
No, nothing's easy.
You know, but I don't think Barkley will play 90 minutes. I'd be surprised if he does.
OK, Lithuania against England, 7:45. So a seamless transition from us to that, if you do want to watch international football. You might not want to. Let's get to the phone lines. We've got Richie, who's a Red in Wavertree. Evening, Richie. Welcome to the Legends.
Hello, the legends.
Hi, lads.
Right, okay.
Especially a particular legend there, Roy. All right, Roy.
You better be nice to Sharpie as well. You don't cry. Thanks, mate.
It's all right, Roy. You know me, but there you go. Let's move on. The Klopp situation. Okay. Positive. Great choice. Great thing. I did say to all the lads in the Klopp, I said, you know what? Rodgers won't last here till November. They'll have him out the door. They can't allow this club to run so into Christmas and into January, so he would be gone. So I got that right. Bookies wouldn't take a bet on that, so that's it or there. My concern now is I feel this is our, as a Liverpool Football Club, this is our last chance to get things right and keep us not in the top four, not in the top three, but get back to where we used to talk about football, finishing number one. If we don't get this right within the next 2 to 3 years maximum, we are in big, big, big trouble. I don't want to put a negative on everything because everything at the moment is positive. The guy comes over, a smashing fella, a joyful fella, a joking fella, a guy who seems to know what he's talking about, but we have to see that on the park. But I don't think we have any more chances in the last 23 years where we will be in big trouble if we don't get this right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree what you say, but at the same time, everyone seems to agree that they feel they brought the right man in. He's come up with a different attitude, talking about entertainment for the fans watching, which I think is still important in the game. Mm. Obviously, the biggest thing is about winning, and winning trophies. So far, so good. They've made this decision, and obviously, obviously you talk about the owners of the club and different things. I've always criticised them slightly because they don't know enough about football. Mm. But they put their money in. We can't complain about the amount of money they put into it. And now, hopefully, they've made a good decision. Whoever made it.
But Richie, don't you think? Don't you think it's becoming harder simply because? Doesn't matter what Liverpool do. Man City will just throw more money at it, or Chelsea will throw more money at it. And I think now you're looking at, I can understand what you're saying, but you just look at the money differences now. But Man City will just buy anything.
Okay, all right, mate. Let's give it the money situation then. So what we say nowadays in today's footballing world, that to finish the top one, I mean, it's an embarrassment nowadays that we talk about the top four. You know, where I come from, where Roy come from, four would be a nightmare. Now four is successful. Okay, so we're talking about second-rate football. Now then, let's say you say money runs everything. So therefore, why are clubs who can't finish in this top four year in and year out, why are they spending all kinds of money on top players and paying all kinds of money when what they should be doing is saying, look, we're not going to get in the top four ever because your top four clubs, whoever they may be, with all this money, will always be able to buy their position in that league. So let's spend the money on our grounds. Let's reduce our prices for our supporters to come in. Let's give something back and just finish in the top 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, year in and year out.
Good point. But yourself, at the beginning of the season, you, as fans, you've got to give them a belief that you're going to go and try and get into that because the rewards are unbelievable. And that's why they're spending the money they are. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses. In another day, you say, yeah, okay, but do what you're doing. But unfortunately, in this day and age, it's all about the top four. You know, top four prize money. Because it's prize money, it's more than it's prestige.
But why have the Europa Cup then? When it's in this world of football, it becomes a joke. Everybody laughs at the Europa Cup.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's in England, but other countries take it seriously.
The old UEFA Cup was a far better competition.
No, I agree with that.
The only reason it's now the Europa Cup is that it brings more teams and more countries into the thing. The old UEFA Cup was a tough one to win, by the way. That was up-and-coming teams.
Was, yeah.
And then the Champions League, that was different. But again, you talk about money to spend. Liverpool bought 9 players last year, I think about 8 players this year. And that's the hardest part of the job, obviously, is getting the right players. But surely, I would like to see managers spend it on 3 players. Get 3 of top quality. Yeah. And then they obviously integrate easier into your team or your squad. And do the same again. And then back it up with what you've got coming through the academy. You've got some good kids, obviously, coming through there. Buy 2 or 3 top class if you can.
Yeah.
And that must give you, because if we've got a reasonable group of players, I think we just lacked some top class.
Right? Can we go back to Klopp? I heard him on the TV. He said 2 good things. What I took on board that he said. One, he was talking about this committee transfer business.
Yeah.
And he said, "What do you think about it?" He was very discreet the way he'd done it. But what he said, well, I'll have the say in the beginning. I'll have the say at the end. But I don't know everything, and I'll listen to what people say in the middle. Now, that was interesting for me.
Well,
the other party said, Roy, was I've said it for years. Do you know the dugout where you're sitting next to each other, where you can smack each other over the back of the head?
Yeah.
He said, that's got to be dealt with because I have to whisper.
No, he doesn't have to whisper.
Come on.
He has to whisper. Hey, that's about it. If you've got a problem with that, he's got a problem with everything. I'll take your first point. The transfer committee, if there is such a thing, has to be there to help you and assist you in getting the best players in. But you must have, as he said, you must have the first say and the last say. You must make the final decision. And all things to do with football, the manager for me has total... responsibility.
Yeah.
So if you buy a good one, you take the praise. If you don't, you buy a bad one, you take the stick. And that's what.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers had all that?
Well, if he didn't, it was his own fault because when he became second in the league that year, he could have said, by the way, this is the way I want it, and he could have made his own rules by then.
Richie, some great points, but we're going to move on. You're really passionate and great to hear from you. Supremely passionate. Sharpie's got a.
I've heard it all now.
He loves his football club.
I'm just saying, listen, I heard that today as well about the dugouts being. I don't know if that was just a tongue-in-cheek remark. about the dugouts being too close and he'd have to whisper things. Whisper things? He couldn't hear himself at Anfield anyway. The crowd. What's he on about?
Okay, I've got a blue for you to listen right. to. Chris is in
Somebody
Halewood.
Some top sense.
Hiya, Chris. You okay?
Hello, boys. You okay?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, just a few points. Just like to start off with Phil Jagielka.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's outstanding for him today to be captaining his country. I think he's been very much overlooked by Mr. Hodgson. We're picking the likes of your Cahills and your Smallings,
mm-hmm.
Who I think Jags has obviously been the better centre-half than them this season and has been over the last couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he needs a bit of credit where credit's due, what he's done with the kids. You like your Brownings, your Galloway's come in. The new lad from Argentina, Maury's come in. I think he deserves a lot of credit, so I'm absolutely made up. He's got the armband tonight, and I think it's all down to himself. And I think every single Evertonian out there will be backing him 100%.
Mm-hmm. You hear? Go on.
I'd like to speak about the national press. To be honest with you, boys.
Go on. Fire away.
Yeah. So the national press and the national radio stations, I think, are losing the grip on football. Everton get nothing all the time. So when people are talking about teams finishing in the top four, we never get a mention, which I think is surprising considering the running we've had. We've gone to Swansea, obviously they beat United. We've gone to Tottenham, they destroyed City. We went to Southampton, who aren't going to lose a lot of games at home this season. We've done a good job there. We've played Liverpool at home. You know, we played Chelsea. Obviously, the City game, you know, we got outplayed. I think we're not getting the credit we deserve, Graeme. I don't know what your views on that.
I think you got a lot of credit against Chelsea, that's for sure.
Agree to a certain extent. First, the Jags thing, all day long, agree with you, everything you said about Jags. And I was going to say, when you came on about the press, I thought you were going to say maybe that. Because I watched Jags play for England, and I agree with what you're saying about Cahill and Smalling and everything else. And then I look at the papers the next day, and I look at the marks, and I'm thinking, who's been watching the same game? And I'm thinking, what's going on? So I think there is a bias towards players who play down in London, especially the London press, Roy, you know, especially are quite vicious at times, and I think they are. They don't help the northern-based players. But in saying the general praise, listen, we were never going to be top four candidates at the beginning of the season simply because the clubs up there above us, Man City, Chelsea, Manchester United, Liverpool, whoever, have got more money to spend. So we were never going to be in there. But all we can do is continue to get the run that we're on, continue that. We'll get tough times in the season, don't get me wrong. I think the season started relatively well for us. I think coming into it, I think there was a lot of trepidation. You know, people looked at the fixture list and thought, by the way, we could be in the bottom three by, you know, this time. But I think it surprised everybody. I think it surprised, you know, members of the press as well. So I don't think we were always going to be candidates at the start. But I think I think everybody within the club, you know, had a confidence about them. Gone in pre-season with the players, I think there was a confidence here. They'd got their confidence back. But the big thing for me, Chris, is the final or the our last third, whether it be Romelu Lukaku and the three players behind them, they have been a difference for me this season. They've started the season a lot brighter. Ross Barkley is coming to the fore with his performances and his goals. Lukaku's weighing in. So that area of the team has improved, you know, 100% from last year. And I think that's why we're getting the results we're getting at this moment.
I do agree, Graeme. Do you think Barry's got a lot to do with that? Because I mentioned this the other week.
I think Gareth he's been
Barry,
good.
Because he's only playing one game a week. He's a different player. He's a player maybe. 2 years ago.
Yeah, maybe. I think Gareth Barry's performances this year have been excellent. We talk about Jagielka and consistency. I think Gareth's been the same this year, and it could well be the fact it's only one game and it's not the Europa League, and we're seeing the best of Gareth. As you said, he's getting to that stage of his career now where it's, you know, the latter stages, if you like. But no, his performances this year have been great.
Graeme, just to take you up on the first thing about the press boys and whatever, I mean, obviously Everton wouldn't be expecting to get in the top four, and Liverpool have the expectations still to get there, but we're in a similar situation to Everton at the moment. We're not fulfilling our what we expect to do.
Yeah.
But I'm quite surprised that you read the press and you read different papers and you read everything. Hey, you go to the games, you make your own opinions. Hey, forget about their things. Most of them haven't kicked the ball anyway.
No.
Hey, in all honesty. Hey, okay, but everybody in football is allowed an opinion. So I think sometimes you have to just say, okay, that's your opinion.
You know the funny thing? You know the funny things now and covering the football for so many years now is you look in the press box and half them aren't even watching the game. They're on their laptops and everything else. They're on their iPads. We've seen where they're going on holiday and everything else. Then something happens and they turn to me and go, what happened there? And then he's marking the players and you're thinking, oh, my God, the world's going mad.
I think they give those marks at half-time sometimes.
Oh, I think they do. Jeez, oh.
Chris, quick one. Thought of the weekend ahead. Can you get that result there? You've got two massive games back-to-back, haven't you?
Yeah, I believe we'll get the results on Saturday. Mm. Mr. Van Gaal made excuses last year about our fans being too vocal, so I think that'll that'll go in our favour. But I think the confidence. I think Park's obviously come into his own. McCarthy showed his class against the Germans the other night, so if you bring that into the game. But no, I think there's a different vibe about the team this year. There really is. I don't know if it's the injection of the kids at the back. No, yeah. Brendan Galloway has just been absolutely outstanding. Mm. If I was Leighton Baines, I'd be scratching my head thinking, am I going to get back at left back? Mm.
Chris, brilliant call. Great to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. Chris, who's a Blue, we're going to take another short break here. Stay with us. It's Radio City Legends and still on air till 7:30.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Saunders trying to find Thomas, he's got space, real chance for Rush, 2-0. And Ian Rush becomes the record goal scorer in FA Cup finals. He took that with all the experience at his disposal.
1992 against Sunderland, Ian Rush. The reason being he never quite got the chance to do it with Wales, did he? You mentioned it before, just in terms of, a prestigious tournament where he could showcase his skills to the world, which I think is crazy in a way, isn't it, Roy?
There's been a lot of great players over the years. I mean, you could say George Best, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, George was an absolutely brilliant player, to be fair. Rushies and some Giggs, of the Scottish lads, the Giggs lads, Radcliffe,
yeah.
So many lads who never got to play in the top tournaments, if you like. And possibly people rate them in a different way because they never got that chance. But I'm a great believer that great players for your club would be great players for your country, and I think maybe we should treat them the same way. But it must be awful to miss out on it, not to get that chance to play in the World Cup or the European Championships. I think for the top players, it must be massive.
Wales as well at the time, the two games against Scotland, the one that I was involved in 86 when we went to Mexico, we beat Wales with a penalty, and it's Jock Steen's last game. He died at Cardiff that night, but we got lucky again, we got a penalty. But then the game before that at Anfield when Scotland beat Wales, and there was a famous Joe Jordan handball, which denied Wales the chance to go to the World Cup as well. So they had a little bit of hardship along the way. So that's why, great to see them. Great to see them in it kind of thing. They'll enjoy it. Whether they'll do well in it remains to be seen, but you don't know what the group is.
No, it's still great to be there, isn't it? And by the way, I wouldn't write off Wales. Wales have got enough in their tank. I mean, Northern Ireland, I think that may be a big ask to get through. But just being there is fantastic, I think, for them.
Yeah, of course you've got a Bale in your side, and you've got one or two great players. I mean, Joe Allen's back in there as well, Adam
Ramsey. You know, you go to the team. Yeah. It's a team of good experience now, and still youthful.
Okay, let's return to Premier League action and Liverpool and Everton. Just a thought, because obviously Roy's in here and hasn't really reflected on Klopp's appointment. Just wanted to ask, because one of the things I thought was lovely over the weekend was he's photographed all over Liverpool. So he's out somewhere near Hardman Street having a pint of Stella, and people are getting in there. He's being photobombed, and then he's out of the quarter the night after. I really like the way he sort of integrated himself around here.
Let's see if he does that after getting beaten three games. Yeah,
I mean, it's he says he's human, and he says like he's the normal one, whatever. Hey, a few pints. You know when people come round and we all had it. Will you take a picture? Can we have a? And by the way, he's out and having a few drinks. He's mixed with everybody that's there. Hey, nothing wrong with that as well. I think there's a lot of that missing in the game today. I mean, obviously players are security guards and all sorts. The fans very rarely get near enough to have a little chat to them or something. Mm. That's part of your daily routine for me. You can't just put the fans over there and say, I want you to cheer me. You have to mix with them somewhere.
Did you, as a manager, sort of were you quite conscious of that as well when you managed Liverpool?
Yeah, because we let people into the training ground, not every day, because obviously the nearer it gets to the game, you've got like some tactical stuff and whatever, but you let people in. I mean, because you get people coming from all over the world, and so you let them in, take a few pictures at the end of the training session. Go on, lads, go and sign some autographs, and they do it. I mean, and that's, they actually quite like doing it in the end. But if you like keep them away for long enough, they think, well, why should we sign autographs? It's not part of our job. It is. Yeah. For me, it's just mixing with your fans.
Different world to what it used to be. Players are now like film stars, you know. And as you say, we talked about it off air about bodyguards and everything else. And listen, I feel sorry for them in a way where they can't go out at night because people have cameras and everything else, and they've got to be very careful. But I still believe there's a place and time, as Roy says, where you have an open training session or you have a fan zone where you have to go through and sign autographs. Listen. Part and parcel, they're getting paid enough.
Even the fact, I mean, in our area, and you've got to be careful, like, you can't keep going back to our times, whatever. We'd have a few pints, the lads, some of the lads after the game and different things. We felt that was part of our mixing with your mates and you'd played with, team spirit. Very rarely these days, I mean, because of social media, really, I mean, you'd be frightened to death. But it used to be, great.
Part and parcel.
Good crack with the lads, you know, you'd won. You go out, you celebrate a little bit. You're not playing until maybe next weekend, which sometimes you got a big week. But I thought I liked that part of it. I encouraged that with my lads, but occasionally they took it too far. Yeah. But that's part of the game, isn't it?
But that's great to see him doing that. Listen, it's great, and he's integrating right away. The time will come where that won't happen when he's in this serious business kind of thing, and people won't expect to see that every weekend. I'd be surprised.
Well, again, it's all about success, isn't it? If it becomes successful and he does what he's saying he's going to do, having said that, all managers talk a great game at this moment in time, but he says it in a different way. So if he can produce something, I mean, certainly he's taken us from... We have been in the doldrums, the Liverpool fans. You've been sitting there watching games. It's been actually boring and there's no life in the stadium whatsoever. He's lifted them from that point of view. If he can start doing it with results, which is what it's all about, and as I say, he hasn't kicked a ball or the team hasn't kicked a ball yet. If he can start getting results in that, then he's going to be he is going to be a guy that people love because he has got a personality.
Jürgen, I hope you're listening to the Radio City Legends. And if you are, we've got an empty...
He's probably out.
We've got an empty chair down on Harbour Street. Well, it might be on in a bar in Harbour Street.
Yeah. He'll be watching the game.
We're going to leave this chair empty until you come and join us on a show one day, when Aldo's back as well. That'll see you off for good.
I think he's the type of guy that would do it, by the
I think he would as well. Yeah. One thing stuck out to me. He produced a killer line in his first press conference and the normal one. Did you produce a killer line, Roy, in your first press conference?
I was never clever enough. I mean, my first press conference, I was frightened to death, by the way. I mean, you take the job and you think, good God, what am I into now? I'm the manager of Liverpool. You just answered the questions that they answered for you. I was never one for thinking clever things to say, maybe jokey-wise, but I was never like, I was never a Shanks or a Jurgen Klopp in many ways. He says them. I like the one, you know, from we need to go from disbelievers to believers. Because I think there's a lot of truth in that with Liverpool fans. We now have to start believing that our team can go forward. But it's easier said than done. But hopefully that's the way we go.
Did you ever try and be clever, Sharpie?
No, I don't think you can be. Either got it or you've not, you know. And if you try and be too clever, it will come back and bite you in the bum.
You know, Shanks used to say ridiculous things. Life is football's more important than life or death. Yeah. You take it the way you want to take it. Some people took offence. I mean, there's so many things said. If you say with a tongue in cheek.
He will be. Again, results will determine.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that will determine
with everybody, and that's part of the manager. Yeah. That is the manager's job. Results. You can say as much as you like, and a lot of them do. It's all about. Let's just put one addition to that. Yes, the manager's come in. The players have got to get the finger out as well. They've got to start taking some responsibility on the pitch for the results they get. And I'm a great believer in that. Yeah. Giving them more of that. Yeah. Hey, you're on the pitch. You're the players. You play the game.
The one thing I'm going to go back to, and we talked about it the other night, about how we haven't seen this euphoria over a manager before and being a big manager kind of thing. Cash in mind back, well back, Brian Clough was a big thing. You know, controversial, said a few things and all that. Went to Leeds. and couldn't win over the players. The players weren't having them right away. So he's got to do that as well. I'm not saying that the Liverpool players are anything like what the Leeds players were, but what I'm saying is the players have got to buy in. You know, the players have got to buy into him. You'd like to think that they will do, but you don't know. And then he has to then reshuffle it and bring people in.
Cluffy was a difficult guy. I mean, yeah. Cluffy went to a successful Leeds team, tried to change everything. So this guy's coming in with a... off the back of maybe from poor performances, so the lads are maybe listening and want to go a different way.
Well, Jurgen's got a win at Spurs at the weekend. Right, quickly having a look at the charity bet. He fell flat again. It was dreadful on Friday. He got two wrong. He only got Southend to beat Port Vale. Gary Gillespie fell flat with his attempt. Unbelievable. And Alan Irwin got two out of three. Oh, no, he got one out of three.
Just shows you we know nothing about football, by the way.
I seem to remember Roy never won his either. Right, some quickfire tweets that have come through and texts and emails. Kate over the moon to see Jags as captain. But for me, the star was Barkley. Think he will stay first team for England, Sharpie? Quickie.
Ross, if he continues to perform like that, I thought the pass for the goal was excellent. And listen, as Sylvain says, a great player. It's up to him now.
OK, Kane says Liverpool have picked up quite a few injuries over the international break. Will that be a tough start for Klopp, do you think, Roy?
I think, again, everything's going to be a tough start because of the build-up. But at the same time, we've all got to be sensible about it. Give him some sort of time, some sort of space. And we've got a big enough squad. And he's got to make the decisions and find out what his best team is very quickly. I don't think Brendan ever really knew his best team, and I think that was some of the difficulties that he faced.
OK, really quick one. Brian from Widnes, Sacco has come out and said he felt like a caged lion. I think that's because he wasn't being played. Will he be first choice now, Roy?
Well, that's not my decision. That's down to Jürgen at the end of the day. But he's an aggressive player. He's got a fight to get himself in the team. That's down to him for me. Yeah.
Okay, and what's this one? Tony in Southport. I'm not having it. It's easier to get an England cap these days. The likes of Barkley and Jags deserve their place, Sharpie.
It's easier to get an England cap.
I'm not having it that it's easier to get an England cap. I think it is
if you go back to the 70s and 80s and some of the players that never got capped. I think they had a tendency to give them away. But if you deserve a cap if you get a cap.
Yes, without a doubt.
Guys, it's been absolutely fantastic having you in tonight. Roy Evans, we'll have you back again soon, and Sharp as well. Of course, the lads are back on Friday night when they'll do their charity bet for the weekend. Are Everton going to beat Man United?
I've got to think about this.
And are Liverpool going to have a clop of a start at White Hart Lane?
I think that's a difficult one. I would be happy to... If you come up with a draw, that'd be a good result down there.
Top men. That's Roy and Sharpie, and of course, the Radio City Legends back on Friday at 6:30.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.